Fake news. The concept of fake news recently received global attention as a prominent issue, largely due to the 2016 presidential election in the United States of America. Since then, a war of words has ensued. Politicians and their supporters hurl the accusations of fake news at the major media and news outlets in the United States, and then the talking heads fire right back the same charges against them. Social media seems to be a particularly hot spot for the circulation of fake news. What was originally designed to connect people with one another around the world has become a tool of propaganda and false information. Since 2016, Facebook, Google, and other companies have taken measures to attempt to combat the circulation of fake news, yet to no avail. As a result, many in our country today, in the world in fact, are flooded with feelings of skepticism and anxiety, not knowing who they can trust or to what they can turn for accurate information and for truth. What can we believe? Is there anyone we can trust? Who has the truth? How do we know what is fake news and what is not? The Christians in ancient Corinth, Greece, also struggled with the concept of fake news. Some of them had major questions and doubts about the idea of a bodily resurrection from the dead. Can the dead really live again? Is there truly an afterlife? And if so, do the resurrected dead have bodies? Or do they have an incorporeal spiritual form? How can we know if the idea of a final resurrection is true? The Corinthian believers wrestled with these questions and perhaps others related to the resurrection. They felt as if they were caught in the middle of a tug of war between their pagan culture and the new teachings of Christianity that they had received. Their Corinthian peers were pulling them one way toward the pagan philosophies and religion of their culture, while Paul and the other Christian missionaries to Corinth were pulling them the other way toward Christ and the teachings about him in the Old Testament. In what should they believe? Whom should they trust? What was the truth? And what was just fake news? Paul partly wrote the first epistle to the Corinthians in the Bible to help sort out their confusion over the matter of the final bodily resurrection of the dead in Christ. So let us take a look at what he said, but after we pause for a moment of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we are embarking on another journey within your word in the book of 1 Corinthians. And we ask for your guidance, that your Holy Spirit be present, illuminating our minds, drawing us into understanding, so that what we read and what we hear from your word this morning, we can apply rightly with the power of grace to our lives. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, if you will, turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians. The first epistle to the Corinthians that Paul wrote as canon, included in Scripture, that is, in chapter 15, the resurrection chapter, chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. Paul there began his discussion about resurrection and afterlife by reminding the Corinthian believers of the fourfold gospel of Jesus Christ in 1 Corinthians 15, 3 through 5. That Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared. He established the fact that Jesus has indeed resurrected bodily from the dead. that his that this historical event was verified by hundreds of eyewitnesses on different occasions and at various times, including himself, as having seen Jesus in the flesh post-resurrection firsthand. Then Paul turned to the next part of his discussion. We studied that last part last week, last Sabbath. Then he turns to this next part, which we're going to study this morning. Our focus will be today on 1 Corinthians 15, verses 12 through 19. Look with me at the first verse of this section, verse 12, 1 Corinthians 15. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? So Paul argued in this next part of 1 Corinthians 15 that there is a seamless connection between the resurrection of Christ in the recent past and the future resurrection of believers on the final day. The argument contains several first-class conditional sentences in Greek, that is, if-then sentences, in which the conditional clause, the if clause, or protasis, is assumed true for the sake of the argument in the resultant then clause or apodosis. So in this first conditional clause, the first conditional sentence, in verse 12, the Corinthian believers said that they have accepted the gospel proclamation about Jesus' physical and bodily resurrection from the dead, the teaching which they had heard from Paul, from Aquila and Priscilla, from Silas and Timothy, from Apollos and perhaps others, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 and verse 11. But they were struggling with the idea of a final bodily resurrection from the dead of believers in Christ. They wondered if this eschatological teaching of Paul and the other apostles was really true or just a bunch of fake news. You see, some Greeks denied in Paul's time the possibility of an afterlife, believing that the physical, material life we live is all that there is. This was the belief of the Epicureans, to whom Paul preached the resurrection of Jesus and the final resurrection of the dead on the Areopagus, or Mars Hill, in Athens on his second missionary journey, just before he traveled on to Corinth. Epicureanism began with the philosopher Epicurus, who argued that the world was made of atoms and that the world was purely material. Epicureans attempted to free people from the idea of the gods, the afterlife, and the fear of death. The only value that remained for them was the physical reality of the individual, and thus the individual was freed from fear to pursue what truly gave pleasure. Epicurus stressed the contentment and nobility produced, the best, most enjoyable life. Besides contentment and satisfaction, the highest aim of Epicureans was the avoidance of pain and discomfort. Thus, Epicureanism rejected any notion of the afterlife and a resurrection. Perhaps some of Paul's audience in Corinth had encountered this belief. Other Greeks in the time of Paul maintained belief in an afterlife, but embraced a dualistic view of human nature akin to Plato's timeless theory of the realm of forms or ideas. These Greeks thought that only the portion of the human person that they called the immaterial or spiritual soul was immortal and survived death. The physical material body would not go with the soul into the afterlife, but perished in the grave. And hence, you can do whatever you wanted in the body because that had no eternal difference on the soul. These religio-cultural and philosophical views of human nature, the world, and human destiny did not meld well with the gospel that Paul preached to them. Was Paul right about there being more to this life than the present, a real afterlife of eternity? Could there really be a physical resurrection of the material body? Or was all of this just a bunch of fake news? They believed Jesus had resurrected from the dead, as Paul had preached to them in Corinth. But they had their uncertainties about this final physical, material, bodily resurrection of Jesus' followers at the end of time. In fact, in Athens, the philosophers on Mars Hill scoffed at Paul in Acts chapter 17 when he mentioned Jesus' resurrection from the dead. But Paul was clear in this letter to the believers at Corinth that the physical, bodily resurrection of Jesus cannot be separated from the physical, bodily resurrection of his followers at the end of time. If you believe in one, then you must believe in the other. If you believe that Christ resurrected from the dead, then how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? Paul said, 1 Corinthians 15:12. Paul deductively made the connection quite clear in 1 Corinthians 15:13, the very next verse, when he declared, "But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised." If you disbelieve that there will be a final resurrection of the body for those who believe in Jesus, then you cannot reasonably believe that Jesus rose from the dead. And if you disbelieve in the bodily resurrection of the dead, then you cannot rationally believe that the dead in Christ will be resurrected at the end time. The two beliefs cannot be separated. They go together like hand and glove, like a ball and socket, like a nut and bolt, like two peas in a pod, like banana in its skin. You Corinthians, can you not see that you cannot have your cake and eat it too, Paul says. You either believe both or neither. It's all or nothing. One cannot be maintained without the other. It's either no resurrections or both resurrections. Either it's all fake news or none of it's fake news. With additional conditional sentences, Paul continued identifying the perilous consequences of denying the resurrection of the dead. Look at the next verse, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14. "And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain." Paul declared that if the final bodily resurrection of believers is fake news, then Jesus' bodily resurrection upon which the final hope of resurrection is grounded is also fake news. And if the bodily resurrection of Jesus was fake news, then our preaching, that fourfold good news of Jesus in 1 Corinthians 15, 3 through 5, is kanon in Greek. In vain, empty, false, devoid of value, baseless, untrue, fake news. And if the bodily resurrection of Jesus and our preaching of it was fake news, then your faith is kene in Greek, in vain, empty, false, devoid of value, baseless, untrue, fake news. In other words, if there is no final bodily resurrection of believers, if there was no bodily resurrection of Jesus, then we who believe are living a lie. Our lives of faith are fake news. Paul pointed out a worse consequence of denying the reality of the final resurrection and the resurrection of Jesus in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 15. "We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised." So not only does the denial of a final bodily resurrection of the righteous result in the rejection of Jesus' bodily resurrection, making our preaching and faith fake news, Paul said, it also makes us worse than liars. We are blasphemers. Paul used the Greek word pseudomartus from the Greek word pseudes or false and martus or witness or martyr, which is a person who gives false testimony, a false witness against another. You see, we bear false witness against God, the divine, the deity, violating not only the eighth commandment, but also the first through the third commandments, if we preach news about him that is false. If God, for the sake of the argument, Paul said, did not raise Jesus from the dead, and we witness that he did, then we are liars, false witnesses, blasphemers of fake news. In denying the final bodily resurrection of believers and the resurrection of Jesus, we make our preaching fake news, our faith and lives fake news, and our God fake news. Paul continued in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 16 and 17. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Denying hope in a final resurrection to eternal life for the followers of Jesus results in the natural and logical rejection of Christ's bodily resurrection from the dead. And if Jesus was not raised from the dead, then our faith is mataia in Greek, futile, empty, fruitless, useless, false, worthless, fake news. And furthermore, we are still in our sins. Now let us reflect on that just a moment. Most of us think of the pardon and forgiveness of our sins being tied to the atoning substitutionary sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. And I, in no wise, wish to minimize the truthfulness of that important connection. Without the death of Christ on Calvary, there is no forgiveness of sins. We are still in our sins. However, Paul makes it abundantly clear that our pardon from sin is also intricately connected, linked with Jesus' real historical bodily resurrection from the dead. If Jesus did not raise from the dead, conquering death and hell, and sealing what he had accomplished at Golgotha, then his death amounts to not much of anything. And if his death accomplished nothing because he did not defeat death in his resurrection, then we are still in our sins. We have no pardon or forgiveness. So in this way, the eschatological bodily resurrection of believers and the bodily resurrection of Jesus from the dead are crucially connected to the forgiveness of our sins and our ultimate salvation. We need Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection for our salvation, and we cannot have Jesus' resurrection while rejecting the final resurrection of the righteous as fake news. So Jesus' resurrection is a critical part of us receiving the forgiveness of sins that Jesus provided via his death on the cross. Paul concluded his argument in this part of 1 Corinthians 15 in favor of the final resurrection and Christ's resurrection by making us keenly aware of what life will be like without these critical events in our lives. 1 Corinthians 15, 17 through 19. And if Christ has not been raised, then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. If Jesus has not been raised from the dead, then this is the only life there is. Eternal life is merely a pipe dream, a chasing after the wind, a fable and fairy tale with a very unhappy ending. Without the hope of a final eschatological resurrection of the dead in Christ, those who have fallen asleep in him are not sleeping. They are really, truly, and eternally dead. Instead of using the Greek word thanesko and its cognates, as Paul does elsewhere, for death, in 1 Corinthians 5:18, Paul chose the stronger word apolumi, meaning to ruin, to destroy, to lose, or to be lost. This is the fate of those who believe in Jesus if there is no resurrection of Christ or final resurrection of believers. Complete ruin and destruction, they will be utterly lost. The end of the story. Without Christ's resurrection and the future resurrection of believers, this is the only chance at life we have. 70 days, maybe a little more, maybe a little less. How depressing. If this life full of trial, tribulation, temptation, testing, turmoil, tumult, turbulence, terror, and trouble, if this life full of suffering, sadness, sickness, sorrow, and stress, if this life full of difficulty, disenchantment, distress, disappointment, depression, dissatisfaction, despair, dejection, despondency, disorder, and discouragement, if this life full of horror and hardship, fear and fretfulness, mayhem and madness is all that we get, then as Paul said, we who have hung on to a false hope are most miserable and pitied. My beloved, I want you to know today, as Paul attempted to stress in his first letter to the believers in ancient Corinth, the resurrection of Jesus and the future resurrection of his followers is absolutely everything to us. Without these two important historical events, there is nothing. We are nothing, only vanity. But we can rejoice today, because as Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20, Nuni de Christos egergetai ek nekron. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Jesus is alive today. He resurrected from the grave. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit raised him up from the tomb. And that is an undeniable, irrefutable, undisputable fact of history. That is not fake news, my friends. Hundreds of eyewitnesses firsthand saw the living and resurrected Christ. And as the Apostle John declared in 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, which we have touched with our hands concerning the word of life, the life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen, which we have heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. They heard him. They saw him. They looked upon him. They touched him, just as Thomas placed his hands within the side of Jesus, the post-resurrected living Christ. He was made manifest to them, and they testified of him and proclaimed to us what they heard, saw, and touched. Jesus, the Son of God, the Word who himself is God, the living Messiah, the resurrected Christ. And because Jesus' bodily resurrection from the dead really indeed took place in history, so will his promise of an eschatological bodily resurrection of all who believe in him take place. His historical resurrection is the proof of our future resurrection in history. If it is our time to lay down in our dusty bed called the grave for a little while, Jesus is going to awaken us again. Death is only asleep for believers because Jesus rose from the dead, and that is not fake news. Those who claim that Jesus' bodily resurrection was merely a first century farce are the ones who are devising fake news. Those who reject the truthfulness of Jesus' promise to resurrect bodily his faithful followers at the end of time, rising from the dead, they are the real fabricators of fake news. Seventh-day Adventists, we are called Adventists because we proclaim in alignment with the preaching of Paul and the rest of the apostles, the first advent of Christ, during which he died, was buried, resurrected, and was seen, and the second advent of Christ, when he will raise up from the dead those who believe in him. Our faith in the two advents of Christ is not empty vanity. Our message for this dying world is not fake news. It is the historical good news of Jesus Christ, backed by a multitude of eyewitnesses and firsthand accounts. This world is dying precisely because many have called the good news fake news. The world does not recognize its desperate need of the fourfold good news about Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, and appearances for all those who dwell in it. This is why we need more than ever before to walk in the footsteps of the giants of faith, such as the Apostle Paul, in proclaiming the good news about Jesus' resurrection and his promise to resurrect us, and dismantling the fake news of skepticism and naturalism. My beloved, where do you stand today? Have you received the good news of Jesus Christ that has been handed down to you, passed on to you by the Apostle Paul and the other eyewitnesses of the living resurrected Christ? Are you busy sharing this good news with those most desperately in need of it? Or have you fallen prey for the fake news that denies the reality of Jesus' historical bodily resurrection and the future bodily resurrection of those that love him? Are you still in your sins because of your embrace of fake news? Or have you experienced the forgiveness of sins that be confound only in the good news of Jesus Christ? Paul and I appeal to you today. If you have not personally experienced the good news, the gospel that I have presented today, the gospel of grace in Christ Jesus that Paul preached, I appeal to you, experience it today, right now. If you're struggling with this concept of resurrection today, as were the Corinthians, I exhort you to give the good news a chance and see what it does in your life. The fake news promises you nothing. The good news promises you everything. And those promises are guaranteed by blood, the blood of the Lamb, and by resurrection. The resurrection of the one who holds the keys to death in hell. What do you have to lose? If you embrace the good news, and it happens to be fake news in the end, and I can assure you it won't be, then you have lost nothing but perhaps hope. However, if you accept the fake news and reject the good news, and the good news happens to be true in the end, which I believe it to be, then you have lost everything. Jesus wants to be your Savior this morning. The good news of Jesus that he died, was buried, was resurrected, and appeared in the is the foundational truth of life that grounds any hope in an afterlife. So please, I urge you today, receive the good news. Accept the gospel of Jesus Christ today and turn away from the fake news of the world. Embrace the good news that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to a multitude of eyewitnesses at various times and places. And that one day, very soon, he will come again to resurrect bodily his beloved believers. Believe the good news of Jesus and do not fall for the fake news of the world. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we look at the world around us, and Satan has infiltrated every corner and crevice and crack of this world with fake news about you. And some of this fake news about you denies that Jesus is living and resurrected today. It denies that you will come through on your promise of resurrecting those of us who have placed our faith in you at the end of time. There's lots of skepticism behind this fake news. Lots of doubts and questioning, and perhaps even hostility by some. But Lord, help us to forsake this fake news and give our lives over to the good news of Jesus Christ and all that he has done on our behalf to redeem us, to save us, and to resurrect us to eternal life at the end. Lord, there might be somebody listening to my prayer right now who has been deceived by the fake news. They have not yet embraced the good news. And I pray, dear God, that you would work upon their hearts right now in this moment to gently nudge them towards the beauty in perfection, in grace of the good news, Jesus Christ. Perhaps there's somebody here listening to this prayer that has in this moment made the decision to receive and believe the good news. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen them. For the devil knows of their decision, and he will try to bombard their lives again with fake news. We pray, Lord, that you shield and protect them and wrap them as a robe in your good news. Thank you for the good news of Jesus. We love you for this good news. Amen.